Welcome to the Voice of Truth. Jim Moore, Jeff Arnold. Hope you guys have enjoyed this week's conversation. It's a little different, maybe not a lot of Bible verses, but man, we just, Paul, I think Paul just trying to wake people up. I'll say this, John, the Apostle John, when he's writing the book of Revelation, knew it was going to be hard to get his message across. And I find that same struggle today. It's very hard to get that message across. And this goes back to a scripture just like you. So that scripture's been on your mind for weeks. As my Father sent me, so I send you. I go back to the verse, you'll know the truth will make you free. And the Jews begin to argue, free. We are free. We were never in bondage to any man. Mm-hmm.
And we're saying the same thing. We're singing the same song.
Yeah, we're saying the same. Oh, we're a Christian nation.
Yeah, we're free America.
Yeah, we're free. All this stuff. And all of these atrocities that go on. Guys, what's happening in Gaza is a genocide. When half the population is in starvation.
Yeah.
And you've blew up all the hospitals. 34,000 dead. 70% of them being women and children. Oh, so you can build a pier to move oil and gas. You needed those people out of the way. So again, all these distractions.
Again, like Jim said on Monday, we are not anti-Semitic. We are not anti-Jew. I mean, we are people loving people. As much as this atrocious thing that's happening in Gaza is a real deal, so was the Holocaust. So is any rape of the American, but of the world people.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord said, Father, forgive them. They know not what to do. I promised on Wednesday we would tell. When I was growing up, I remember Ronald Reagan being president, and he was trying to describe what $1 trillion looked like.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Because, you can't really fathom. It's such a big number. You can't really get it in your head. And he said this, if I remember it right, he said, if you took $100 bills and you stacked them up 4 feet high, right? 4 feet, that's about that high. That's $1 million. Okay? It would take that stack 64 miles high to be a trillion. Wow. Now, if you can get your head wrapped around that.
Wow.
And this country is $34 trillion in debt and counting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, if I was that bad in debt, they would absolutely lock me up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'd have been.
But the country seems to get along with it just fine. And that's something that's puzzled me. Maybe you have an answer. But when it says we're in debt to who?
Yeah.
Who are we in debt to?
Well, they call it the Federal Reserve, but the Federal Reserve is a bank. It's a private-owned bank, and they put federal on it.
To make it look official,
yeah. But it's a bank. And they control the whole thing. And really, Ross Perot used to use this, the giant sucking sound, as you remember in his campaign, giant sucking sound of the businesses going to Mexico. Well, guys, it's a giant sucking sound of all of our money going up. There's three people in the United States that own, I think they said, 80% of all the wealth.
Yeah.
In the United States, it's got 80% of all the money.
What started this Wednesday when Jim said how the prosperity of this country could be served in helping people, helping the fatherless and the oppressed and the widows and the orphans, But instead, because of this empire, because of this dragon, this beast,
mm-hmm.
that this country has become, it will go down. And it's going down.
All empire will. And what's the church doing? We're learning line dance moves.
Right. And I can kind of prove it. I mean, I can prove it. Not just kind of. I can prove it right here. I had this. I highlighted this in my Bible. people say, well, this is Old Testament and don't really apply. But I want you to listen to this right here. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one likened unto the Son of Man, come with clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. Now, you can kind of get your head wrapped around when that was.
Yeah, that was, I'll just say this, that was the Ascension.
And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages shall serve him. Now, that ain't American, and that's all nations,
yeah,
languages shall serve him.
Yeah.
That's loving your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
loving them people coming across the border, ain't it?
Mm-hmm. There is a view that you'll see, you know, scriptures are full of a lot of threes. Mm-hmm. A lot of threes. You know, the tabernacle was made up of threes: outer court, holy place, most holy place. Revelation, I will tell you, is given in three scenes, three dramas, scene after scene, all showing the same picture. You'll see that in all of the scriptures. In the Old Testament, the same scene three times over and over and over. And let me tell you what that references, to give you a bird's eye view so that you would understand what this is talking about. Because in the book of Revelation, the first part is about what? The church.
Mm-hmm.
So when Isaiah is talking about Israel here, he's talking about Israel. Okay, but then if you go on to read Isaiah, he says, he expands it out to the nations, right? And he talks about Assyria, and he talks about Babylon. You go through and he talks about all these nations, Egypt and all that. And he says, their own evil will destroy them. Their own evil, God doesn't have to do anything. Their own evil will destroy them. But then he says that there will be a day when the nations will beat their swords
into plowshares,
their spears into pruning hook, and they won't train for war anymore. So you got Israel here in Revelation, you got the churches, and then you get an expanded view with the nations, which deal with the trumpets and all of this, and then you get a bigger view, which deals with the very everything,
mm-hmm.
which deals with the very essence and of evil, and does away with everything. And we see the culmination of that in Revelation, where we see a city fully. And what is the city? The gates of the city are open and never closed.
Right.
The leaves of the tree are for the healing of these nations. All of these things. And guys, so as we're preaching this gospel and sharing this gospel, we are working towards the goal that God has already set and the purpose that He is bringing this whole thing to.
Mm-hmm.
We get to participate in that. So all the empires who fight against that will crumble.
That's right.
Everyone.
That's right. I'll finish this verse. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. And his is Christ. An everlasting dominion
mm-hmm.
shall not pass away. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. There's another verse in Daniel that says every other kingdom shall be destroyed. I mean, I think Daniel saw a vision. It was a rock hewn out of a mountain without hands. Mm-hmm. And it dashed to pieces all kingdoms.
Yeah.
And how did he
do that? Guys.
Yeah, I mean, listen. He didn't come at the end, at you know, in 2050 with a sword drawn to draw blood. No.
He laid his life down.
That's right. That, I mean, everything we see is the unveiling, the unraveling of Jesus and what He done at the cross.
Yeah, you know,
from a different angle.
I read that verse. You know, the seven thunders uttered, but then He says, "Don't write what they say," because you know God is really saying, "Look, I could do it that way."
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things you and I grew up in. We had a conversation with a while back. God is saying, "Look, I could come in and squash everybody." It's just like.
No question.
Your dad could come in and beat the fire out of you mm-hmm. because you did something wrong. But that doesn't change your heart.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it just builds resentment.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as Israel and Palestinians are fighting, there'll be generations that want to get into that fight because it just builds more animosity, more hatred, over and over mm-hmm. and over and over.
Oh, yeah.
So he said, don't write what
the thunder
said. I mean,
it does. The next generation.
Yeah.
The next generation. Well, an Israeli killed my parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, not mine, but you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I am raised to hate Israelis.
Hey.
And vice versa.
There was a scene in the Old Testament when Saul was king of Israel. Okay, and finally he commits suicide and David is announced king. When they run through the streets of long live the king, which is what they would do, generally, because this is what other nations did, they would immediately go and kill all of their family. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want them rising right. up. So the nurse, she hears, oh my God, Saul is dead, David is king. So she gets Mephibosheth, drops him, makes him crippled, and they run out and she hides out with him in a little town called Lodabar. And they stay there for a long, long, long time because they're afraid of the utterance of the king.
Yeah.
And they were just going to wipe me out. And you know what? David could have. And David, his question was, is there anybody I can bless for Jonathan's sake?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is one, Mephibosheth. So they go on the trail here. And when they show up, Mephibosheth is like, oh my God, they're here to kill me.
Sure.
But he brought him back to eat at the king's table.
That's right. It's a beautiful story.
It's a beautiful story. But we as Christians, we want to go in and blow up everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, these people with these huge platforms, huge followers, are wanting to do this. And most of the Christians follow them, and they say, yeah, we should just wipe them all out.
Yeah. I mean, can you hear that story right there? Is there anybody left of the house of Saul that I may bless them?
Yeah.
And he came and set him at his own table.
Yeah.
And put food in front of him.
See,
that's amazing.
That's how the nations will be brought in. Not from the thunders.
Right.
Not from the thunders.
Amen. That's right.
The thunders won't do it. Don't write what the thunders say. And all we're wanting to do is thunder more and more and feed the war machine, guys, and that will never do it if you can hear what we're saying.
That's right.
Peace doesn't come that way.
Whoever lives by the sword shall die by the sword. I mean, that is no question about that. That is a shall, and I believe it's absolute.
Yeah. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what a statement. That statement of just gone on in my mind a whole lot. And you know, when I go back, when they was negotiating these peace agreements and they was trying to divide up the land, and when you get down, I mean, from on the surface, it sounds like, hey, split it down the middle, you know, 50-50, you know, let's just go with it. Well, think about this. There's a lot of land in the Middle East that's desert. There's a lot of land that's fertile.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I divide it up. I give you all the desert. And I take all the fertile land. Now we split it 50-50. You got all the desert you can have. You ain't got no water. You can't grow nothing. I'll take all the good land. And see, that was what was going on. And the Palestinians are like, no. We can't grow anything. We can't produce anything. We have no water.
Yeah.
This is why they have to get everything from Israel. And everybody says, hey, look, they're being selfish.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, we as American people, we ain't told the whole story.
No.
We're told just enough to keep us feeding the empire war mm-hmm. machine so that we can stay and pay our subscriptions
and
watch our movies.
Keep us up in arms.
Mm-hmm.
Keep us hating them people.
Mm-hmm.
I hate them people. They attack those innocent people at a concert. That's what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we hear. We didn't hear the provocation of what started the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in this instance, what started the whole thing. You don't hear that.
Right.
You have to look.
Right. And I mean, it's what we're being told, guys, is just lies.
It is.
It's just lies. And I mean, here we are. We want to be the voice of truth. And whatever it is. And I know, you know, again, some people might say, oh, you guys shouldn't be in politics. Well, look, Jesus came on the scene with a very political statement. right out of the gate. Behold, the kingdom, man, right out of the gate. That's a political statement. Mm-hmm. There's no way around it. That is a political statement in it. He didn't come on the scene and say, hey, guys, let me show you how to worship. He came on the scene. The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Yep. And it's still.
Yeah. And it flies in the face of empire. It flies in the face of everything. Well, and there is no Switzerland here, guys. There is no neutral ground. You're either for him or you're against him.
That's right.
There is no put your head in the sand. We have no part here. No. There you are in the midst of it. So it's tough. And we want to share this truth and man, maybe wake people up and, oh my gosh.
So you say, well, okay, what can I do about it? You know, that's what people
ask. Who can make war with the beast?
What can I do about it? I'm just a little voice here. You know, what can I do against the beast? Who can, like you said, who can make war with the beast?
Mm-hmm.
He's so enormous. Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell you some kids over in Columbia and some kids at UCLA and different ones, they're making some noise.
You know, I have looked at some things and, you know, I know there was some agitators in there. They always are. There's people who wasn't part of the Colombian protest. I mean, or part of the Colombian student body.
Well, there's some plants put there.
There's plants put there.
For that reason.
For that reason.
For distraction.
For the $370. But, and I heard all these people said, oh, look at our American education. I'm going to tell you my view. He and I didn't talk about this. He may have a whole different opinion, and I'm not putting him in, and I'm going out on limb myself. I was very proud of him. I myself was very proud of those people for making a stand. Because, you know, Rosa Parks made a stand.
Mm-hmm.
She made a stand one day that says, you know what, I'm not going to the back of the bus anymore. Martin Luther King, he made a stand one day.
Yeah.
And these kids who are our future made a stand to say, guys, we ain't going to fund this war machine anymore that's killing these people for no reason, the genocide that would be going on national TV if the cameras would turn around and show it, but they're not going to show that.
I don't disagree with you at all.
So I was very proud of them and the students out there. And I know this is going to come and people are probably going to say, I can't believe you support that. Well, you see, I just believe that people are waking up and sometimes it takes a generation like that who we want to just put down and say, oh, look at all the bad stuff that they're doing. Look, they're doing some mighty good things
mm-hmm.
because, they, you know, in one sense, they're bringing some awareness to some things that need to be brought aware. Because, look, I believe that we need police. We need laws for the lawless, so to speak. You need those things. But at the same time, you can't have brutality.
Right.
You can't have that. So, you know, and some people speak up about those things. So I was very...
Well, coming from a guy, listen, I think Paul he went about and he said, look, King Agrippa, this is where I was and this is where the Lord brought me to.
That's right.
Okay. So coming from a guy
who was a terrorist,
has struggled with these very things, with people coming across the border, with people of color, all that stuff. I struggle with that. I got to be honest, right? But I was here, and God, in His great mercy, has brought me here.
Yeah.
To see people in another light, to see people like Legion that came to Jesus, bloody and torn up chains. You know, that's a person. To see a guy that said that a receipt of customs, a tax collector that everybody spit when they said his name, and they said it's a dog, right? And Jesus saw a man.
Yeah.
You know, these things are very real to me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I have lived it.
Yeah.
So there was a time I remember very, very distinctly when I met this guy. And a lot of times I'm judgmental
mm-hmm.
by someone's appearance.
Mm-hmm.
I'll look them up and down and kindly put them in a category.
Yeah.
I've done that.
Mm-hmm. We all have.
And so I had this guy categorized. I set him aside, right? And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and sets you straight on something, you don't never forget it.
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit said, do you believe you're loved more than he? Mm-hmm. That simple. I mean, can you imagine what an impact that had on me?
Yeah.
It changed my world.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's revelation. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. God, show me who you are.
Yeah.
And he's continually doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Just to say, now I know God. Now I know him. I got him in a box. I'll never, you know, he will never totally be unfolded to me. He's too great. But, Lord of mercy, every time I get a revelation, it's wonderful.
Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, I don't know why this came on my mind, in the 40s, I think it was, when India became a nation. And then there was a great famine. You know, India's become a great nation. And here they are, you know, we would say, you know, is America all the crazy? They're Hindus and, you know, all this crazy stuff that's going on there. But there was a big famine that hit that land. Well, I didn't find this stuff out till way later. The reason the famine hit the land is because you know who owned India? The Brits. Mm-hmm. The great British Empire. You know why they had a famine? Because they stole all their grain. They come in and took it. And starved millions of people. This is what empire does. They just took it. So now we're taking the oil, as we do. They would take the grain, mm-hmm. Whatever. And guys, you know, Paul, he makes that statement. And I just wonder, have you experienced the love of Christ, the love of God shed abroad in our hearts? Man, that's a statement, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, when you just see anybody being mistreated, anybody that's oppressed, anybody, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Oh, well, if you know what they done, then you would.
If it don't stir up something in you, I mean, you know, if that really, if that doesn't stir up something inside of you to see an injustice and not overturn a table, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If that don't, Then I wonder if you do know God.
Well,
if you know who he is.
You know, it's like I said, and you mentioned it's a passing fad. It probably is. These kids go up here, and all these adults, and I mean, I'm seeing these 50-year-old people on stage line dancing, calling it worship. And, you know, no compassion. Well, they have never met. You know what I mean? And I just think, my God, what are you going to do when you really are faced with this stuff? I mean, when you really see it, and really down in your heart, the love of God shed abroad, and what it is, your eyes become open, and you say, oh my goodness, what's going on in our own rest homes? What's going on with our own?
Oh, no question.
Own children.
No question.
And you know what I mean? All the brutality, and when you begin to see it, it becomes overwhelming.
Uh-huh.
It really does. God has to really bring it to you small so that you can handle when you begin to see the evil.
Just the other day, we was up in West Virginia. We went up there fishing for a couple of days. And there was this Mexican girl, Mexican or Latino. I don't know if she's from Mexico. She was in this store. And she was heating up her baby's bottle in their microwave. And that baby was crying for that bottle. And I knew she had to be homeless. Mm-hmm. I knew. And it stirred up such compassion in me, right? And I looked at the lady behind the counter, and she was so put off that woman was in that store.
Mm-hmm.
Just annoyed by it.
Yeah.
Stinking eagle, don't even need to be here, right? That's people's, generally, their take on it.
Oh, yeah.
And Christian, I mean, are Christians any different? They're sure not acting like it.
Mm-hmm.
Stinking illegals coming across the border.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be here. They should be in their own country.
Yeah. Well, that's just the demise of the empire.
It is.
I mean, it really is.
I mean, you said something months ago that really set home with me. And I don't know if you remember this or not. I don't know if you remember it. I don't know if you remember it either. but it made an impact on me. Do you?
No, I don't remember. Maybe if you tell me.
But you said the Holy Spirit said God opened the border.
Yeah, yeah.
Now what do you think of it?
Yeah, I remember that.
You know, they always say, well, Joe Biden's not paying attention to the border. He opened the border. It's wide open borders, all this stuff. What if God opened the border? Mm-hmm. Now how do you feel? You know, yeah. How do you feel about it now?
But and you know why we don't like it? Because I read all those verses. I read all those verses about oppression, stranger, and all of that stuff. And now we have lived in our bubble so long, and I can promise you all the bubbles of empire will be cracked and split wide open. And you're going to have to deal with it. Whether you like it or not, whoever you put in, doesn't matter. It's coming. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with everything that you've been sheltered from. You're going to have to deal with...
Let me quote a verse that may shock you, because it's completely contrary to what you've been taught generally. Work with your own hands this thing which is pleasing unto God, that you may have to give to those that don't have.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Well, let me go back when I said the Holy Spirit, because Americans, there is no doubt, has been the most prosperous nation who has ever lived.
Yeah.
Oh, no doubt. No, the most prosperous nation. You know, our low middle income would be filthy rich in any other mm-hmm. country in the world. What have we done with it? Hoarded all to ourselves. More and more and more and more and more and more. And God says, you know, you should be working with your hands so that you might give to them. And since you won't give to them, I'm going to bring the poor right to you.
Let me tell you.
I'm going to bring them right to your door.
Yeah. Let me tell you a story that was told to me just not long, just a few hours ago. I've been working for this lady, and she's a woman of means. I mean means, right?
Yeah.
All right. And her daughter went to a high school down there, and she was a tennis player. And she had a roommate in college that was an exchange student from another country. And she invited her to her house to eat. And this girl was astonished. You mean you'll sit down and eat with me? I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, people in that neck of the woods, they don't break bread, you know, with anybody, right? And she was just so amazed that this woman of so much wealth, right? Privilege, you know, she felt so privileged that I can just sit down and eat with you. You remember that movie we watched about, what was it? Beautifully Broken.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you get a chance, watch that movie, Beautifully Broken. Because it shows this guy, he comes over here and he says, food is everywhere.
Yeah.
He said, food is everywhere. He said, they even rake it out. There's so much food everywhere, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, I'm telling you, you're right, man. The poorest people here are mega rich. Compared to a lot of folks.
Yeah. And guys, you can disagree with what we say all you want, and you can get mad all you want. It doesn't matter. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
This is what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, you're either going to share as the scripture says, or it's going to be taken away from you. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we see this all through the scriptures. You're either going to learn to get along with one another, or it's going to get really, really rough.
Yeah, that's right.
And I know we get all the fear mongering that's going on, and the Christians jump right on board. Oh my God, we need to be scared. It's fear mongering.
That's all it is.
Fear mongering, war mongering, all it is. And I will say this as we get ready to go. I hope you'll stand up and voice what it is. My prayers go out. My heart goes out to these Palestinian people and what's happening to them. It's atrocious. Genocide is taking place right before our eyes, and we need to stand against it. That's why we're speaking out today.
Yeah, and I mean, the love and the greed of that oil and natural gas and all those poor, defenseless people stand in the way of that, they're just being eliminated.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we're out of time. Don and Jeff, and myself, we really want to thank you guys for tuning in. You don't know what it means to us to have you guys listening. The one thing that you could do to help us out is hit that subscribe button. Leave us a comment. Ask questions in the comments if you want. I am going to leave a link. I'll post it down below for our church services on Wednesday and Sundays. I put those on a different YouTube channel. So I will share that with you guys, give you the link so you can go see what time. We would love to have you come and join us. And, you know, we just love putting out this voice of truth, having our discussions. What you see is what you get. We try to put them out every Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays at 9 a.m. I will tell you, I'm a full-time pastor, but I also work full-time. Jeff works full-time, so it's hard for us to do those things all the time. But again, we're so thankful you tune in. Thank you for all the subscribers. If you haven't subscribed yet, hit that button. You can hit the notification button. You'll know when they're coming out. And guys, again, we are so thankful that you're tuning in. Man, thank you so much. We will keep bringing this stuff to you. And we will see you again. Lord bless.